This is HPR episode 2609 entitled Sparkle Share and is part of the series Introduction to Git. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 24 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Klaatu demonstrates Sparkle Share.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everyone, this is Klaatu. You're listening to Hacker Public Radio. Back in episode 2542, listener and host Klaatu told us how he set up a website with his father using something called Sparkle Share. And then I later learned from the community news episode that Ken and David so valiantly do every month, sometimes on their own, sometimes with an additional person, but I always mean to be on there, and then I'm never on there, and I feel guilty. But anyway, on that show, they said, "What's Sparkle Share?" And I thought, oh my gosh, people don't know what Sparkle Share is. That is a travesty, because Sparkle Share is cool. I'm not going to say it's amazing, because it's not. It's one of those things that you really can't. Yeah, I can't see using for everything, and I guess arguably, one could even say I wouldn't use it for anything because, well, I don't. However, that's not to say that I haven't used it before. I've used it before for, I guess, what its main selling point is. It's a Dropbox-like thing that uses Git on the back end. And probably automatically you're thinking, that sounds like a bad idea. Because on one hand, it's a great idea. Things get sunk over this magical synchronized folder. But on the other hand, what if you want to sync a 33 gigabyte file? Surely you wouldn't want to do that through Git. And yes, that is true. You would not want to do that through Git. So it is both a good and a bad idea. For certain use cases, such as Klaatu's father, where it's just building a website that's meant to be viewed online, so it's reasonable to assume that the files are well small enough to be transferred over TCP, right? I mean, that's the idea. So for some things, it is great. It's a nice little file sync directory that you can have, like Dropbox or Nextcloud, on your desktop. That you put a file into that directory and it gets synced up to a server somewhere so that it is now automatically backed up. And you just have to use your own sort of common sense about what you would want to put into that directory. You would not want to put your 33 gigabyte 3D model into, with all the textures, into that directory. That's just not what you would want to do. But if you know that you've got some code stuff, maybe you've got some .dot files, maybe you've got a book that you're writing on, or some web graphics, little things like that, go for it. And once it gets sunk to that server, then on your other computer at home or at work or in the lounge instead of at your bedroom, then that folder in return also gets a copy of that file. So it's useful. It's a funky little one because it's useful in some ways and then useless in others. It's very useful for what it does. But then it's got that weird limitation of, like, you have to use common sense here. This is Git, so don't abuse it, which seems kind of weird. But at the same time, if you know what your use case is, it may be perfect. And in fact, it was perfect for me at an old job. I instituted Sparkle Share because there was no sort of upper management approved file share system. And some teams needed to work together. And that was just the smartest way to let people who were in different departments, so not necessarily familiar with Git, we could still enable them to collaborate and share files. Because Git we had, it was just we needed really just a user-friendly front end that doesn't bother you so much about commits and adding and staging and stuff like that. So that's what Sparkle Share is. It's a neat project, if nothing else. If you go to sparkleshare.org, it gives you a rundown of what it is, which is pretty much what I just told you. It tells you what it's good for, frequently changing project files like text, office documents, and images, tracking and syncing files edited by multiple people, reverting a file to any point in its history, preventing spying on your files on the server using encryption. Not so great for full computer backups, wouldn't want to do that, and large binary files that change often, like video editing projects. Okay, so there you go. That's That's its own mission statement. For downloads, you've got your macOS and your Windows downloads on the website. That's good because even though you might not use either of those platforms, or you might at work or whatever, or in your real life, I don't know you, then you can download this thing, SparkleShare, yay. So it's cross-platform is what I'm trying to say. So and that's obviously a huge deal when it comes to file sharing. So it's significant that it's cross-platform. You want that. For Linux, if you're running Linux, why wouldn't you be? You can do Flatpak. Flatpak is kind of a new packaging format, which I'm actually really excited about. I'm hoping that this is it, the universal packaging system for Linux. I'm not saying I don't like AppImage. I still like AppImage for, I very much like AppImage for external developers, as I like to think of them. You know, people who are not sort of in the Linux ecosystem, but still want to deliver to Linux. Well, they don't have to learn packaging for that. They can just do AppImage. And build things locally and then send it off. But Flatpak, I think, is great for internal developers, you know, people who are sort of Linux friendly and just want to roll their RPMs or .debs or whatever. Roll a Flatpak instead and everyone can run them. What do you mean everyone? Yeah, even me. I'm on Slackware and I'm running Flatpak and it's working brilliantly. So there you go. So the commands are provided on sparkleshare.org, and that is, well, first you have to install Flatpak. So you would want to do that through whatever means you have to install programs on your Linux distribution. So Flatpak, once installed, is actually a little bit like Git. You just do a Flatpak remote-add flathub, https://flathub.org/repo/flathubs.flatpakrepo. And that pulls in the main Flatpak repository. And once that's coordinated, I mean, it doesn't take long. It just kind of pings that remote and makes sure that it's the server that it thinks it is. Then you do the install command. So Flatpak install flathub. I should say Flatpak space install space flathub space. So that's, we're installing from flathub org.sparkleshare.sparkleshare. And again, that command is available right there on the SparkleShare front page. Now, once that's finished, you can run SparkleShare for the first time. And we're going to do it together so that you can see how easy this thing is to set up. So how do you run a Flatpak? Well, it kind of depends. I'll be honest with you. It sort of depends on where you got this Flatpak from and how nice it is and how they've developed it. But the technical way to do it, like the exec line that you will see in a .desktop file that may or may not come along with a Flatpak, is Flatpak space run space and then the string that you installed in the first place. So that in this case would be org.sparkleshare.sparkle with a capital S and share with a capital S. And that would launch SparkleShare. Now, it just so happens that that this Flatpak installs a .desktop file for you. So if you just type in, or however you launch your menu, if you go to your application menu and look for SparkleShare and then launch it, that works. It the exec line is doing what I just described. So when you first launch it, it might take a little bit longer than normal because it has to, you know, create sort of the infrastructure that it's going to use for its config files and stuff. And the first screen is kind of a first launch screen. It says, first off, what's your name and your email? So that would be Klaatu. And then klaatu@hackerpublicradio.org or member.fsf.org. And I'll continue. And now it gives me a second screen, which is, I should have taken a screenshot of that. Here, hold on. I'll take a screenshot of this so that I can insert them into the show notes. I assume that's how it works. I don't really know how to do screenshots and show notes. There we go. So second screen is a list of potential hosts. And this is really neat because it gives you I think, quite a good variety of options here. So the first option is your own server. Everything under your control. You can just use pretty much any Git host that you want or any host that you want with Git capabilities to host what will become a SparkleShare repository. It's Git. It's just free, normal, old Git. You can also use Bitbucket, GitHub, GitLab, and PlanIO. Never heard of PlanIO, but it's apparently online project management. Okay, so I'm just going to do my own server. And I'm going to do 10.1.1.10. And then it tells me to put in it tells me to put in the port and the username. Okay, so I need to put in my username, 2, and the port is actually the standard port, so I don't need to change that. And yeah, that should be everything. Now, this is still going to fail, and I'll tell you why. It's because it could not, so it says, please check the following. Blah is the address we've compiled. Does this look right? So it kind of gives you the full name of what it thinks it should be looking for. And it asks, is this computer's client ID known by the host? And then it says, here's the raw error message. Error, could not fetch host key. So I'm going to click the retry button, which deceptively does not just automatically retry. It actually brings you back to this sort of setup. So what needs to happen here is that I need to make sure that SparkleShare has permission to get into the host with just a public key. Now, I do have permission to do that, but it is using a key currently that is password protected, so it needs manual intervention in order to work. A couple of different ways I could manage this. I could either go into my SSH config and use a different key or whatever, but there's a specific way that SparkleShare allows for this to happen, and that is it provides you an SSH key under the SparkleShare menu. So if you look in your system tray, there's an orange folder that represents SparkleShare. If you right-click on that orange folder, you'll see SparkleShare, Sync Remote Project, which is actually the screen we're on now, and then Quit. So under SparkleShare, there's History, which is empty right now, Computer ID, and About SparkleShare. So if you roll over Computer ID, you see an SSH-RSA, and then a key. So I'm going to copy that to clipboard. That's a selection right there. And then I'm going to go in a terminal. I'm just going to quickly SSH over onto my server, type in my manual password, and now I'm going to go into .ssh/, what do I want here? Known hosts. No, not known hosts. Authorized keys. And I'm going to paste what I've just copied to my clipboard into the authorized keys selection. And so it gives me an SSH key. It's a really long one. And it ends in parentheses, SparkleShare, close parentheses. So we know why that key exists. So now, one more time, back to SparkleShare. I'm gonna, if that setup screen has closed, you can get back there quite easily by just right-clicking on the SparkleShare thing in the folder in your system tray, go down to Sync Remote Project, and click on that. It brings up that sort of setup screen again. So we'll go back to the My Own Server selection and add the details. So Clatu at 10.1.10, and then the path is /home/clatu/sparkle.git, and then one more thing I need to do, actually, and this is specific to my setup, but I'm going to mention it because it could be specific to your setup. I need to go into my SSH config, so that's /.ssh config, and reset what identity file this server uses. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to my episode on SSH config files. That's episode 1856, in case you're looking for it. And that explains everything. But what I'm doing here is because I had a configuration option already set, so that if I go to this specific server, then it uses this user and this identity file. And I need to reset that. So SparkleShare keeps its SSH files in your home directory in .config and then /org.sparkleshare.sparkleshare with camel case on that last SparkleShare. And in there, you'll see an SSH configuration or an SSH key called the date 2018-0101 or whatever, you know, whenever you installed this thing. And then the time, the hour, and the minute that it created this key, dot key. And there's another one right next to it called dot key dot pub. So the thing that you want to use in order to get into your server is the dot key file. So do a readlink-f on that key file. So I'm just doing readlink-f 2018-07-12_14H51. Dot key, and that returns the full path of where that key lives on your computer. I'll select that and then go back down to my SSH config file and in my home directory, and under identity file, I will paste that full path. And then I will save that and quit Emacs. And if you are looking to learn Emacs, you can listen to my Hacker Public Radio series on Emacs, episodes 852, 856, and 861. Okay, so that's done. So now we can continue our setup and click continue or add, and it pings the server, it tries to log on, it finds the key, and the key is in the authorized hosts file, so it lets it in. So we're good to go. It says, what type of storage would you like to use? Plain storage, nothing fancy, maximum compatibility, or encrypted storage? Trade off efficiency for privacy, encrypt files before storing them on the host. Well, I'm not going to do that right now, but I could at some point do that if I wanted to. And then it says you can find the files in your Sparkle Share folder. And I can either click Show Files or I can just finish with the setup. And I think I'll just close it. I don't need it to open a directory for me. I can do that. And I don't know what file manager it would try to use anyway. So I'm going, I mean, it's kind of a GNOME-ish application, so I have suspicions. So somewhere in here, in my home folder, there should be a Sparkle Share directory, and sure enough, here it is, Sparkle Share. And in that Sparkle Share directory, there is a listing of the different hosts that Sparkle Share is managing. So here's one for 10.1.1.10, which I know is my home server. So I'll click in there, and there's my Sparkle directory. It's not called sparkle.git; it's just Sparkle. I don't know why they do that. And waiting for me inside the folder is a little default file that they've committed for me. And it says, congratulations, you've successfully created a Sparkle Share repository. Any files you add or change in this folder will automatically be synced to, and then it gives me the address, and everyone connected to it. And that's important. It has Git hooks set up so that when you commit a file, when you drag a file into this folder, it commits it to the folder and pushes out, you know, and everyone else on all the other, anyone else syncing to this same folder gets that file. It's all magic Git hook stuff. Now, this setup has been a little bit over complex because I've been stepping through it to do this all on my own server. So let's do one more really quick, and we'll look at what it's like on a GitLab instance. And the reason I want to do this again is because what we've just done together is more like that's what the admin would probably do. That's if you are introducing Sparkle Share to your team at work, for instance, or to your fellow collaborators on some cool art project or something, then you would probably do all the setup that we just did, you know, making sure that the server has the bare repository and has all the SSH keys on it and all that other stuff. For the everyday user who's just kind of bumping around trying new things out and stumbles across Sparkle Share, this is what they would do. So they would presumably have a repository on GitLab already or on some hosting service that they can hook into with Sparkle Share. So I click on the GitLab. Well, okay, so to start first, we would right-click on the Sparkle Share folder in the system tray and click Sync Remote Project. So right there, you can actually left click on it too. It's the same folder, same menu. But the verbiage there is sync remote project. And so it kind of assumes that you have a remote project to sync. So that's significantly written, I think. So I'm going to click in this setup screen. I'm going to click on this GitLab selection. And the address is auto-filled for me because all server or all commits and checkouts and clones from GitLab go to the same place, SSH:// git@gitlab.com/, and then the remote path, so that in this case would be notclat2/foo.git, and we'll pretend like foo.git actually exists on GitLab. So I'm going to click add that, and of course it's going to fail again, and you should by now know why. And it's kind of telling me, hey, is this the right path? Yes, it is. Hey, is this computer's client ID known by the host? No, of course it's not. So if I click on the Sparkle Share folder again, I go to that computer ID thing, I copy that to my clipboard, and then I go into GitLab, and this is pretty much for any kind of online Git hosting service that you can find. It's the some of the menus may be different, but the concept is the same. So you go to your little user profile, you go to settings, and then somewhere in your settings, there's something about SSH keys or adding a key or something like that. And so you click on the SSH key selection, whatever it may be, and there's some option to add an SSH key. Of course, all you have to do is paste your SSH key into that text entry field, give it some kind of title, which it's actually parsed it successfully for me already. It looks at the end of the key and takes the string. So it says parentheses, SparkleShare parentheses. And now I'll add that key. Once that is added, I can do a retry over here in SparkleShare. Everything's the same. Okay, I know that I've just added my SSH key. It's told me that it's successful. It's shown me a fingerprint. So I'm going to add. And now this time, sure enough, it's fetching the files and downloading all that remote stuff to my computer. And if I look in my SparkleShare folder, once it's finished here, it's actually a fairly large project, apparently. There we go. Now it's telling me you can find it in your SparkleShare folder, so I'm going to finish, and then I'll do another search in my home folder for SparkleShare. There it is. And here's gitlab.com. There's my foo.git directory, and there's all the files inside of it. So to sum up, for a normal user, it is a matter of them going into their publicly hosted Git account, if that's how they're doing it, adding the client ID, quote-unquote, client ID of their SparkleShare, so that's their SSH key for SparkleShare, adding that to their publicly hosted repository, and then pointing SparkleShare to that repository. And that's it. That's all they need to do. And they can keep adding sort of sub-repositories, as it were, in SparkleShare by clicking on the SparkleShare and sync remote project. And you can just add as many repositories as you want. So it's a very, very easy, friendly way to manage a Git project. I mean, there's not a whole lot to go into what happens after that. Like, once it's set up, that's it. Now treat it like you would a Dropbox folder, if you've ever had Dropbox or if you've ever interacted with Dropbox at all. Just, you know, if you have something you want to live in that directory, then drag it over and it will get copied up to that repository. It really is that simple. Now the kind of the cool thing for a Git geek, I guess, is that you can cd into tilde slash SparkleShare and then into, let's do the gitlab.com one because I know there's actually activity there, slash foo.git or foo. And now if I do a git status, for instance, or a git log, I guess, is more interesting, it shows you the history of all the things that you've done in SparkleShare so far. Now, right now, it's not a whole lot. There's just a SparkleShare commit, just acknowledging that SparkleShare is there. But if I were to drag a folder or a file rather into that folder and have it commit up to that repository, which I'll do, I'll just add a license here. No, actually I won't. I'll do this license. Okay. So I'm copying a little text file over to my repository. I'm waiting for the icon in the system tray to sort of clear out. And it does, so there's activity, and now it's done. Now if I do a git log, yeah, I've got a July 12, 1528 commit that just happened, dragging the oglv1.oa.txt into the folder, and it got committed up just automatically. That's it. That's SparkleShare. It's a really sort of friendly, no-brainer kind of way to interact with Git. So check it out. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.